But let's begin. We're going to pick up Emirat Hashem in Perek Beis. This actually is a misprint. It's not Mishnah Yod. It's actually Mishnah Tes Vav. So the Mishnah that we're going to be focusing on, this is going to take us over the next couple of classes, will Emirat Hashem probably be the final Mishnah that we'll learn for this semester. And we're going to get deep into it. The reason I have Mishnah Yod over is we're going to see this is part of a section of Mishnayos that begins with Mishnah Yud and goes all the way through Mishnah Tes Vav. And the truth is even further than that. This is, does anyone happen to have a siddur here? Or can I,
yeah.
With Perkei Avos? Yeah. Thank you so much. Okay, so just to orient yourselves a little bit. So again, you'll look at this inside on your own, but already beginning in Perek Beis Mishnah Yud. So you'll notice again the topic over here is Chamisha. We actually studied this Mishnah together. Chamisha Tamidim Hayulo Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five primary disciples. So remember again, the Mishnah goes through the list of them, just to rattle them off. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Shimon ben Nesanel, and Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. So the Mishnah is then in Yud Aleph. You have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai going through the different traits of each of his Talmidim. And ultimately, again, in Yud Beis, comparing his Talmidim. In Yud Gimel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, thank you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai telling his Talmidim, Tzu'u uru'u ezui derech tova shiyad bakba adam, go out and look for what is the proper path for a person to cling to. Mishnah Yud Dalid was Tzu'u uru'u ezuhi derech ra'a shiyisrachi ka adam imenu, what is the wrong path for a person to go down to. And then that leads us ultimately again to Mishnah Tes Vav. That's the progression. So this unit of Mishnah is all about the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So as you're going to see, some of what we're going to cover today, we've actually covered already in previous Mishnayos and previous concepts. But again, that's where we pick up with Perek Beis Mishnah Tes Vav. Thank you very much. So the Mishnah says as follows: Heim Amru Shlosha Dvarim. So the students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said three things. Now we're going to see they said many, many more than three things, but three things which we're going to elaborate on. Rabbi Eliezer. Now remember again, in Mishnayos of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Talmidim, there are two people: one by the name of Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus, and the other by the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. So the reason why this sometimes gets a little bit confusing is because often the names Eliezer and Elazar are often interchangeable. But here we're going to be very precise. We are going to be focusing here on Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus said, Yichavot chavercha chaviv alecha kishalach. Let the honor of your friend be as near and dear to you as your own. Va'al tihi noach lichos. What does that mean, va'al tihi noach lichos? Do not anger easily. V'shuv yom echad lifnei nisasecha. Meaning, do tshuva when? One day before you die. Literally warm yourself by the fire of the chachamim. But be careful. Gachalosan here is translated as embers, but it could also mean be careful because of their coal. Shelo tichve, that you not be burned by them. Shinishichasa nishichas shual, for their bite is the bite of a fox. Vaakitsasan akitsas achrov, their sting is the sting of a scorpion. Ulichishasan lichishas saraf, their hiss is the hiss of a snake or a serpent. Vichol dvarehem ke gachaleish, and all of their words are like fiery coals. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus is teaching us an incredible amount, ultimately, again, in this one Mishnah. Remember, multiple teachings. Now, at first glance, what's striking about this Mishnah, about the teachings of Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus? Excellent. What do they have to do with each other? Remember, again, generally in Pirkei Avos, the way the Mishnayos are structured is they follow some type of thematic thread. Very rarely do you have disjointed concepts. Yet here, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus seems to be unloading upon us an incredible amount of stuff. Remember again, the honor of your friend should be like your honor. Great. Don't be easily angered. Do tshuva one day before you die. Warm yourself by the fires of the chachamim. But be careful with the chachamim. Their bite, their hiss, their sting. So again, obviously, although it seems disjointed, we're going to see that Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus is really conveying one thematic overtone that is expressed in multiple different ways. We're gonna focus on all of his teachings. The reason I underlined Shuv Yom Echad Lifnei Misasecha is because that concept of doing tshuva one day before you die has kind of served as the hashkafic or spiritual underpinning for many of the Sifrei Musar throughout the ages. That concept of repenting one day before you die is an incredibly profound idea which you're going to focus on. But first, a little bit about Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. We actually learned part of this story already, so some of it will be chazorah, and I will tell you that, remember, as we've gone through our journey in the various Mishnayos of Pirkei Avos, hopefully you've begun to see that when you begin to understand people's life stories, so you begin to appreciate their teachings so much more. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, I think, has one of the most dramatic childhood stories. So take a look at number two. I took this out of Rabbi Lau's L'Yachal Yisra, which is Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau's Perush HaPirkei Avos, as you know. And what I did is like this. The story of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus' childhood is told in many different sources. What Rabbi Lau does is he's malakit. He kind of collects it and compiles it into one comprehensive narrative. So instead of looking at four different sources, we'll just look at this compilation. Take a look. Number two, paragraph A. Ben esem ushtayim shana haya, v'lo lama Torah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, we'll just call him Eliezer, was 22 years old, and he had not learned a word of Torah. Kalayom haya ovid adamos basadah Hyrcanus aviv. What did he do with his time, right? His father, as we're going to see, Hyrcanus, was a wealthy landowner. Interestingly enough, what's intriguing about the name Hyrcanus? I'm sorry?
It sounds Greek.
Because it is Greek. Ultimately, again, now, what does that mean? We don't know what it means. Is Hyrcanus a bad person? Chas v'shalom. But clearly something is going on that Hyrcanus is known, bless you, is known by this name Hyrcanus and not by a Hebrew name. So look what he says. Pamachas Amar. Eilech ve'el motorof ni Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. One time young Eliezer says to his father, I'd like to go learn Torah with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Remember again, we learned about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai extensively. Where was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's first base medrash? Anyone remember? In the Upper Galil, right? In the Upper Galilee. And then remember, where does he relocate to? He relocates to Yerushalayim. So remember again, his shir, right? His following was so big that especially during the Regalim, they could not find a structure to house his shir. So instead, where did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai used to give his shir? Right? In the shade of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. That's how large his son is. So young Eliezer says, I'd like to go learn Torah by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Amar lo aviv Hyrcanus, his father Hyrcanus said, I ata toim ad shetachrosh melo ma'ane. Hishkim v'charash melo ma'ane. To which Hyrcanus says to his son, enough with that craziness, enough with that silliness. You're not getting anything to eat until you plow the field. So what's already tragic about this? That is not getting, but more than not getting opportunity, what else is happening over here? His father discouraging him, right? Nothing sadder in life than when a parent discourages a child from pursuing his or her dreams. So here again, you have young Eliezer, and again, young, he's 22 years old, that's young, saying Eliezer wants to go to the Torah. His father says, enough, I don't even want to talk about it, go plow the field. Paragraph B. Bepirkei Rabbi Eliezer Mesuper, ki be'echad hayomim matzu aviv bocha. Another part of this story. One time, his father Hyrcanus finds young Eliezer crying. Chashev aviv, shesibas habechi, hu mishum heyoso chorish ba'admas terashim kasha, ba'od sha'achiv chorshim ba'addama techusha v'yishara. So Hyrcanus begins to think to himself, why is Eliezer crying? Maybe he's crying because I gave him a very rocky patch of soil to plow, and his brothers, Eliezer's brothers, got much softer soil. So Eliezer is very discouraged by the rockiness of the soil that he has to plow. So Sha'alo Aviv, his father says, Madu atifke, etin gam lecha la'avod be'ezor kal yoser. So Hyrcanus says to Eliezer, don't cry, I'll switch up your field, I'll let you plow in a much, where the earth is much softer, you won't have to work as hard. Hechil Eliezer atzar la'avod b'makom noach yoser. So his father, right, Hyrcanus, relocates Eliezer to another patch of soil, softer soil. But yet Hyrcanus comes back sometime later, and what does he find? He finds that young Eliezer is still crying. Paragraph C. Alma velama ata boche achshav. Why are you crying now? Hyrcanus asks Eliezer, why are you still crying? I switched you over to a softer piece of ground, of earth. What's the problem? Heshiva ben, and he wrote Lilmot Torah. To which Eliezer responds, father, you don't understand. It wasn't about the soil. It wasn't about the field. I just want to learn Torah. Bitel aviv'es ha-ra'ayon mikol v'kol. His father, what does that mean? Bitel aviv'es ha-ra'ayon mikol v'kol. How would you translate that? Right, his father negated the idea. Mamish negated it. Not even a conversation. Not even a topic for conversation. But Amar lo, listen to what his father says to him. Begil komiv ugar, taschil lilmot Torah. Listen to what his father says. These words are heartbreaking. So Hyrcanus says to Eliezer, you're so old. 22 years old. You've never learned a word of Torah. Now you're going to start learning. It's too late for you. Hemshich lavot. Just continue to work. Himshech Eliezer Babel. And again, this, you're going to see where this comes up later on in the story. But this is the tragic element. The fact that Eliezer hasn't learned until the age of 22. That's sad, but that's not tragic. Why is it not tragic? 22 is young, right? You have a whole lifetime to be able to go ahead and lift yourself up and make yourself into something great. People got started much later than 22 years old and became the greatest of the great. That's not the tragic part. The tragic part is when you see a young man who has such beautiful and noble aspirations and his father literally squashes his dreams. His father literally demolishes them. Bitol mikol v'kol, nothing to talk about. Hemshich lavod, hemshich Eliezer ba'avodaso. This is an amazing story. So Eliezer continues to go ahead and plow the field until his ox that he was plowing with broke its leg. So Eliezer ben Hyrcanus sees this as a sign from above. What was a sign from above? My ox, right, the cow, broke its leg. It can't plow. It must mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to do this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to go learn Torah. Was this a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Was it a sign?
Yeah, it was a sign.
Who knows? Right? Absolutely no way to know. Life often is filled with a variety of different messages. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us messages all of the time. But at the end of the day, our bechira, and sometimes our greatest challenge in life, is interpreting the signs. I'll tell you where this comes up all the time. A person tries something and they fail. What's the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Try something and what's the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I try something and I fail. What is the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I'm sorry? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to do it. Good. What else could be the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Try harder.
So which one is correct? And this, by the way, this happens all the time in life. I try really hard. I put in all of my ashadlus and I fail. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling me? Is he telling me this is not the right derech? Choose something different? Or is he telling me to try harder? And this is the great nisayon in life. I'm not sure. And sometimes we try to figure this out. Sometimes I try harder and I still fail. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling me to try even harder? Or is he telling me to do something different? And again, this is the great challenge of living, we saw this by Esther a little bit, of living in the post-prophetic era. When there is no Navi, I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is communicating with me, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always communicating with me. So the problem is not that God is not communicating with me. What's the problem? What's the challenge? What is he trying to say? What is the message? The communication is always there. The shaila I have is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is it that you're trying to tell me? So Eliezer ben Hyrcanus' ox, his cow, breaks its leg. Is that a sign to go to Yerushalayim or a sign to get another ox? Who knows? But clearly, again, Eliezer ben Hyrcanus takes this as the sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want me to work the field. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to go learn Torah. What does Eliezer ben Hyrcanus do? He effectively runs away from home. Remember again, there's no discussing this with his father. He's already tried to discuss it with his father. His father has no interest in the conversation. His father has no interest in hearing anything about this. So Eliezer ben Hyrcanus packs his bags and he goes to Yerushalayim. Paragraph D. Amru, Oso Yom, Erev Shabbos Haya. Halach Vesad, skip down a little bit actually. Skip down to paragraph E. Kasher Gil Yerushalayim. See, he decides to go to Yerushalayim. Now you have to understand something also which was incredible, which is Eliezer ben Hyrcanus doesn't just set out to learn Torah, but again, where is he going? Where is he going? Yerushalayim. Why Yerushalayim? Who is he going to? Right, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So understand, this is like someone who doesn't know Aleph Beis deciding that he wants to go to Panovich. You know, like this is like, I don't know anything, I'm going to go to Brisk. You know, this is... Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is literally going from nothing, and he's going to learn by the Gadol Hador in like the most prestigious yeshiva in the land. So paragraph E, Kashir Gil Yerushalayim. So now Eliezer ben Hyrcanus shows up in Yerushalayim. Sidro lo achsanya lalun yachadim Rabbi Yoshua ben Chanai Rabbi Yossi Hakohen. So he gets a dira, right? He gets an apartment, and who are his roommates? None other than Rabbi Yoshua ben Chanania. Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, La'acha mikan nichnas Eliezer li yeshiva. V'nisa lahaven es hanilmad. Ach lelo hatzlacha. So what happens, Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is so excited, he finally made it to Yerushalayim, in the yeshiva of Yochanan ben Zakkai, he walks into shir, opens up his notebook, picks up his feather and quill, right? He begins to, and what happens? What happens? Doesn't understand a thing. He doesn't understand a thing. Matzer Yochanan ben Zakkai, Kishu Yosheb Yeshiva Ubocha. So Yochanan ben Zakkai finds this new student. He's sitting somewhere in the Beis Medrash, and he's crying. Shalom Malacha Beni, Madua Tabocha. So Yochanan ben Zakkai says, "Tell me, my child, why are you crying?" Heishiv Eliezer, Eineni Yodea Klum. Said Rabbi, "I don't know anything. I don't know anything." And this wasn't like a humility of saying, you know, I don't know anything. This is literally, I know absolutely nothing. So this is absolutely incredible. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai begins to teach him Shema, Shemona Esrei, and Benshi. Now, this is incredible on two levels. Why is it incredible? Number one, why is it incredible? So first of all, this is the Gadol Hadar. And again, we spend a lot of time on Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has got his plate full. He needs to save Klal Yisrael from the aftermath of the Chorban Bayis Sheni. And yet here he is taking an interest in a simple young man who is mamish ignorant. What else is incredibly dramatically amazing? That he doesn't know anything. Meaning, when we spoke about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Eliezer ben Hyrcanus being ignorant of Torah, so we kind of assumed as we started the story, okay, he's ignorant of Torah. He's not Judaically ignorant. He just doesn't know how to learn. He never learned. And now what do we begin to see? He's mamish ignorant bakol mikol kol. He's got nothing. No Shema, Shmona Esrei, benching, nothing, which means he wasn't davening, which means he wasn't... So this is amazing. Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, mamish, is absolutely, unequivocally ignorant. He knows nothing. So it's startling to see how little he knows, and it's equally startling to see how the Gadol Hadar, mamish, takes an interest in this young man to literally begin to teach him the Aleph Beis of Yiddishkeit. Paragraph F. Me'osa yom achar bi Eliezer lilmo b'shkida tzuma. So from that day, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus begins to learn with incredible intensity. Incredible intensity. Asmata. Remember, again, he needs to go ahead and make up for lost time. There's an urgency that he feels. To the point that he even begins to neglect his own physical needs. Hadvar migil lekach. Shalo da'og la'atzmo la'mazon, to the point that he wasn't even eating well. Right? He wasn't taking care of his basic physical sustenance. Paragraph G. Ba'avur zman ma, kasha yashav im Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai velimdo, chash harav b'reach lo no'im hayotze mipiv shal Eliezer. Reach shal adam shalo hichnis zman rav ma'achalofis. This is amazing. One day, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is learning with Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, and he sees Eliezer ben Hyrcanus has very bad breath. Very bad, but the type of bad breath that comes when a person doesn't eat anything for a long time. Sha'al Rav Eliezer Beni, Klum Sa'arata Hayom. So beautiful. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says, Eliezer, my son, tell me, did you eat something today? So first of all, why is this exchange amazing? Why is this incredible? Because this tells you what a Rebbe is, right? What a Rebbe, what a true Rebbe is not just someone who teaches you Torah, but it's someone ultimately, again, who takes an interest in all aspects of your life. So here, again, tell me, my son, did you eat something today? Shasak. Eliezer ben Hyrcanus didn't respond. Shuv Amar, lo. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai again asks, Eliezer, did you eat something today? Vishasak. And Eliezer doesn't respond. Hechlet Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, livdok biatzmoas hadvarim, vishalach likro lebali achsanya shalo, levarim sad Eliezer etzlam, hisbar shegam etzlam Eliezer lo tamda. Remember again, so this is, so at this point in time historically, so remember, a yeshiva didn't have like a dormitory and didn't have a dining room. And so where did you eat? You were set up by people's homes, right? The students themselves were bored by people's homes and you would eat your meals by someone's home. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sends word back to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus' host, tell me, has Eliezer been eating by you? And it turns out that he had not been showing up for any of the meals. Paragraph H, Lemaisa. Rabbi Eliezer nafal ben hakisos velo tarech liyade ish bedavar b'achsanya chashu shu ochel b'yeshiva v'ilu b'yeshiva chashu shu say b'achsanya b'eni u b'neichem Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai avadnu es Rabbi Eliezer ben Emtsa. So what happened? Eliezer ben Hyrcanus fell between the cracks. His host thought that he was eating at yeshiva. The yeshiva thought that he was eating ultimately by the host. And he fell between the cracks. And again, the reason why this part of the story is important also is because, again, what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai also realized is a healthy soul requires a healthy body. And if a person is going to become a well-rounded Talmid Chacham, a person has to take care of their guf as well. If the guf is not in a good state, the neshama cannot operate on all cylinders. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was especially alarmed that here Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus had fallen between the cracks. Paragraph I, Baruch Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, k'shem shiyatza reach ra mipicha, and he gives him such a beautiful bracha. The same way that the bad odor came from your mouth, merov cheshkicha batorah kedosha, kach yetze lecha shem tov batorah. As intense, it's an interesting bracha, as intense as the bad breath that came out of your mouth was. And that bad breath was a result of complete and unwavering allegiance and fidelity to learning Torah. So too, again, the beauty of your name. Yetzei lecha shem tov b'Torah. The beauty of your name should spread by Torah as well. So the story goes on. Turn the page. Paragraph J. So again, remember, this goes on for a number of years. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus establishing himself in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai taking a personal interest in this young man, learning with him day in and day out. Paragraph J. Behemshech hadvarim is super. So as the story goes on, it was told. Ki ben sayim hisisu achi Eliezer esadiyim. Sheyadir es Eliezer me'al mechavsos. So remember again, if you can imagine, remember there's two parts of the story. Because as much as Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is flourishing and thriving in yeshiva, so remember again, what's happening at home? So as far as they know at home, what did Eliezer do? In their eyes, what did Eliezer do? Abandon the family, right? They have no idea where he is. Remember, he's not writing home. He's not communicating with them. He's not communicating with his father. Why? Because remember, again, as far as he knows, his father was very unhappy with his decision. Understandably so. His father never supported him. So remember, at this point in time, Eliezer is not communicating with his family. So as far as his family is concerned, Eliezer ran away. Now, again, what's the narrative they're spinning? Why did he run away? He didn't want to what? He didn't want to work. That's the narrative. Over time, Eliezer's brothers convince their father, Hyrcanus, to write Eliezer out of the will. Why should Eliezer be entitled to any part of our property, of our estate, if he ran away and he shirked his household responsibilities? Finally, they get through to Hyrcanus. And what does Hyrcanus decide to do? This is an incredible story. Paragraph J, second line. Halach Hyrcanus, lahadir es b'no min echasav. Hyrcanus gets up and he decides he's going to go to Yerushalayim. Why is he going to Yerushalayim? Who's, remember again, this is while the Sanhedrin was still in Yerushalayim. So he goes to the Sanhedrin. Why is he going to the Sanhedrin? Because he wants to write his last will and testament. He wants to go ahead and make a statement in front of the Sanhedrin. To do what? Lahadir es bino min chasav eitzel nasi es Sanhedrin hualach halohu Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Hyrcanus' sons finally convince him, let's go to Yerushalayim, and you'll draft your will in front of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the head of the Sanhedrin, and in that will it will state, I, Hyrcanus, leave all of my property to my sons, with the exclusion of my son Eliezer. Okay, watch this. Bahagiu lebeis hanasi, matza atzmo shutof lekinu shel kol gedol Yisrael, beveso Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So what happens? Hyrcanus shows up in Yerushalayim. He's ushered into the home of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai shama al bo'o, v'nasan hora'a l'hoshiva ben shloshes ashir Yerushalayim, shahayu ba'osa ma'amot, nakdimon ben Goryon, ben sitis hakeses, v'kalba savor. Remember those names? Right? Why were those names significant? Right, because remember, they're the three richest men who had pledged to what? Remember when we learned about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, what did they pledge to do? Support the Jews. They could have held out the Romans for how many years? Right, 20 plus years, the Gemara says. 20 plus years. So remember again, this story is obviously happening before all of that. So understand what's happening. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai hears that the father of his prized disciple, right, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, has just shown up in Yerushalayim. Eliezer does not know that his father is here. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instructs that Hyrcanus be seated among the most prominent men in Yerushalayim. Paragraph K. Watch this. Bein kova ko, pin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Rabbi Eliezer betziva alav. So what happens in the midst of all this? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai comes to Rabbi Eliezer and he says to him, Psach vidrosh. It is now time for you to give your first public discourse, your first public shiur. Remember again, up until this point in time, young Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was a prized disciple, a prized Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, probably one of the most diligent young men in the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to him, you've been learning for all of these years, it is now time for you to deliver your first public shiur. Amar lo, ein yachal liftoach. Eliezer Ben Hyrcanus says, Rebbe, I can't do it. I'm not ready for that. Dachak Baharav, this is so beautiful. Dachak Baharav, V'dachku Bo Chaverav. His Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, encouraged him. His Chaverim encouraged him. Because remember, everyone had seen this 22-year-old ignoramus who had shown up in the yeshiva, mamish not knowing, Shema, Shmona, Esrei, Birkas Amazon. And now he's one of the most incredible boys in the Beis Medrash. Shevar is encouraging him. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, give the shir, then give the shir. Listen to this. This is so beautiful. Ad she'amad u'pasach v'darash v'dvarim shelo shamatan ozen me'olam. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus gets up and gives a shir. And he says words of Torah that had never been heard in the word before, in the world before. Kol davar v'davar shiyatzeh mipiv. Amad Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai araglov v'nashko al rosho. And every single word that Eliezer ben Hyrcanus said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got up and kissed him on his head. Such a shir like no one ever heard. Words of Torah like no one ever heard. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Rebbe, right, the Gadol Hador, gets up and kisses this young Talmud Chacham on his head, every single word that he says. Paragraph L. La'achar shesiyem habenes devarav. So remember again, who's in the audience for the shir? Who's in the audience?
His father,
Hyrcanus. So listen to what happens. After Eliezer finishes the shir, come Hyrcanus aviv ahoda. So Hyrcanus gets up. Hyrcanus says, Rabosai, ani lo basi lekan ela lahadir es Eliezer bini menechasai. So Hyrcanus gets up and he says, My fellow Jews, I came here for one purpose, which is to write my son Eliezer out of my will, to disavow him, to make an edit to prohibit him from getting any benefit from my estate. Achshav, kol nachasai yu nistunu li Eliezer bini. And now, in a dramatic turn of events, Hyrcanus proclaims publicly, I hereby give over all of my property to my son Eliezer. I hereby give everything over to Eliezer. But the story is not over. Paragraph M. Heishiv Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says to his father, remember again, I don't know how many years it had elapsed, but it was a number of years. Father and son had not seen each other for who knows how long. The father saw that the son, who he said would amount to nothing. Because remember again, when Eliezer said, Father, I want to go learn Torah, and Hyrcanus says no, what was Hyrcanus essentially saying to his son? What was he saying?
You're incapable.
You're a nice kid and everything, but you are incapable. You're not capable of greatness. You're not capable of amounting to anything. You're going to be a good farmer. You're going to be a good agrarian laborer. We're going to have a nice parnas. You're going to be fine. You are not capable of achieving the things you want to achieve. And now Hyrcanus stands there in awe that his son has become not just a Talmid Chacham, but one of the Gidoli Hador. His son had given a shir and said words of Torah that the world had never heard. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Gadol Hador, is standing up and kissing this young Talmid Chacham on his head for every single word of Torah that he said. He is so dramatically overwhelmed that he says, I came here to write you out of my will. I hereby declare that all of my property now belongs to Eliezer, my son. To which Eliezer says to his father, Im chafet ani bekarkos, father, if I want land, if I want real estate, la shema aretz umlo, everything belongs to God anyway. Im kesef izav chashka nafshi, if at the end of the day I want gold and silver, lia kesef v'liazav, God owns all the money anyway. Ela bitora bilvad chashka nafshi, but rather ultimately again, father, all I wanted and all I ever wanted was to learn Torah. This is the exchange between father and son. And the truth is, the Baal Shem Tov, in his comment on this Mishnah, says something so beautiful. He says that what Eliezer was really saying to his father was, Father, I never wanted your real estate, I never wanted your fields, and I never wanted your money. What did I ever own? What's the only thing I really ever wanted? What does every single child want from their parents? No? What do you want more than anything from your parents? Support and
encouragement
and acceptance and approval. What every child wants to know at the end of the day is that I make my parents proud. All I ever wanted from you was your encouragement. All I ever wanted from you was your love. All I ever wanted from you was your approval. I didn't ask for your money. I didn't ask for your gold, I didn't ask for your silver, I didn't ask for your real estate. I never asked for any of that. All I asked is that when I came to you as a child and I said to you what my dream is, that you should approve of me, that you should support me, that you should love me, that you should encourage me, that you should be proud of me. That's all. This to me is one of the most profound exchanges, one of the most profound stories, because the truth is we know, Sigmund Freud was the one who did an incredible amount of research into the power of our relationship with our parents. And he actually posited that many times when people struggle with happiness and mental health in life, very often you could trace it back to their relationship with their parents. So the truth is, Freud was not the first person to discover this. Chazal understood this as well. Our relationship with our parents and our perception about how our parents feel about us shapes our identity, not just in childhood, but in adult lives as well. And here you see something so incredibly amazing. Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, who had become an accomplished Talmud Chacham, said to his father, you got it all wrong. I never wanted your stuff. I never asked you for your stuff. The only thing I ever wanted from you was your love, acceptance, encouragement, support. That's all I ever wanted of you. And essentially what Eliezer is saying to his father is, I hope now that you're proud of me. Because when I was younger, I never got the feeling that you were proud of me. When I was younger, I never got the feeling that you thought I would amount to anything. Because every single time I told you about my dreams and aspirations, the only thing you ever did was to quash it. The only thing you ever did was to destroy it. The only thing you ever did was to stomp on it. Every time I told you that I wanted to be something, Father, you were anything and everything but supportive. You told me to get back to work. You silenced me. We never even had the conversation. You were wrong. You were wrong about me. And I was right about myself. I don't want your stuff. I just want you to be proud in the man that I have become. This is the story, ultimately, of Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. But I'll tell you what, this is also important, and then we're going to transition to our Mishnah. If you remember again, back in Mishnah Yud, in Pirkei Avos, so if you remember again, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai describes each of his Talmidim. He describes each of them. Do you remember again how he described, ultimately, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus? Excellent, excellent. Is a bor sid, excellent, she'eno ma'abe tipa, a cemented cistern who never lost a drop. Which means what? What does that mean? A cemented cistern never lost a drop. What does that mean?
Retained everything.
Now you begin to understand, why did I really, remember, why did Elizabeth Horkinus retain all of his Torah?
Because he valued it.
See, meaning, isn't it interesting that things that we care about, we remember. Right? Things that we care about, be right, and it depends what you care about, right? If I care about my clothing, so no one says, oh, you know what? I totally forgot that I wore this yesterday. Right? If a person cares about their clothing, they remember what they wore yesterday. If I care about my loved ones, so I remember their birthday and my anniversary, this, that. If you don't remember something, generally, what does it mean? It doesn't matter. But this is why it's very important, like in relationships. So sometimes if you forget a relationship milestone, right? If you forget a birthday of someone, if you forget an anniversary, so you'll say to yourself, all right, but what's the big deal? I remembered all the other things. I was here for you. Because if you don't remember something, that means deep down it's not important. Anything that is important, you remember. If you don't remember it, you must acknowledge it. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus had to fight for his Torah. For some people, Torah comes easy. They brought up in a home of Torah, in a family of Torah. They're encouraged to learn Torah. So if I don't have to fight for it, sometimes, unfortunately, it goes in one ear, goes out the other. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus had to fight for it. He had to pick up and leave home in order to acquire it. He appreciated it and he valued it. And therefore, he never forgot one word. He was the cemented cistern that never lost a drop. That's the beginning of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus' life. I want to fast forward now for just 1 minute to the end of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus' life. Take a look at number 3. The Gemara says in the Masechet Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer, shamuti hu. Rabbi Eliezer was shamuti. What does shamuti mean? Good. It's not exactly what shamuti means. Look at Tosfos in number 4. Rabbi Eliezer loved shamutihu. Harimashma de shamutihu mi talmide beis shamai. Okay. So shamuti Tosfos says maybe means that he was of the disciples of beis shamai. Now, of course, he's a disciple of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. What it could mean, says Tosfos, is that he kind of conducted himself in accordance with the teachings of beis shamai, shamutihu. But Rashi number 5 says something amazing. Shamuti Barchuhu. Barchu literally means what? What does Barchu mean? Blessed. Barchu is also a euphemism that is employed by Chazal for someone who is excommunicated. Someone who is excommunicated. Like sometimes, you know, like for example, the Gemara, when it wants to talk about a blind person. So a blind person is often called in Chazal, Saginar. Someone who sees very well. It's a euphemism. So sometimes when the Chazal refer to someone, ultimately again, who is excommunicated, Rashi is Barchu. Shamuti is from Lashon of Shamta. Shamta means excommunicated. So says the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was excommunicated. What happened that Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was executed? What occurred between source number 2, Rabbi Eliezer's great ascent to greatness and the excommunication? Emeret Hashem, we'll see on Wednesday. We'll pick up Emeret Hashem with the Gemara Masechet Baba Metzia, the Hasidus Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus' dramatic episode of life of excommunication, and then we'll tie it back into the teaching of the Mishnah.